Just grant you a recording in our permit. Would you start recording for this session for me? Because I'm using my cell phone.
Yes, I've already started that.
Thank you. Okay, I see we're getting more people here. Okay, it's already five minutes past. So let's get started. Thank you everyone for joining us for today's discussion. And I think for today's agenda, we actually have one contribution. Which is from Chuan Yi Huawei team, who has been working on the CCVPN use case. And I think Chuan Yi has submitted a proposal for the service IAM information model for that use case. And this is the only topic that we have on the table for today's discussion. Is there any agenda version? Is there anything that anybody else would want to bring to this discussion?
I can share for Chuan Yu.
Okay. Anything?
Can you see my screen?
Yeah, we can.
If there's no other suggestions, just go with the first.
Let me just ask this question first, Ling Li. So the contribution from a couple of weeks ago about, composite versus non-composite services, has that been, is that discussion still going on, or is that closed?
Do you have any further comment on that one, or you would like bring another counter proposal or addition to that? I thought it was closed because I didn't receive any further comments.
Okay. I don't want to open it back up. So the only comment I had was that perhaps a more flexible model for the service providers would be to allow for a composite service to allow a resource to be directly associated with that. So in other words, a service could either be comprised of services or resources or both, a mix of both. Otherwise, if one wanted to create a composite service and utilize their own dedicated resource plus another service, they would need to first wrap the dedicated resource in another service prior to making it part of the composite. That was the only comment I had. Not sure if that made sense.
I'm not sure that you're actually, perhaps I should publish the conclusion of the discussion. Actually, the latest version that we had, we actually removing the aggregation relationship between service atomic resource. We're actually replacing it to a mapping or a relation. So meaning that a service atomic could be mapped to a resource. And the resource can either be a resource atomic or a resource composite.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So if you already moved on, then yeah, if you could publish that, I can just look at it offline. Thank you, Ling Li.
And I think what Ling Li says probably doesn't solve the question you're asking, but maybe if she could publish it, and then Gil, if we want to kind of produce a little use case that explains what I think I'm understanding you to be suggesting, and then maybe we can see what solution we can come up with.
Oh, yes. Let us do that so that you guys could provide a comment or unless, or bring it to the discussion. It would be welcome.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So, okay.
I would like to, before I introduce the this wiki for the information model proposal. I would like to review what we have discussed in the previous introduction for the CCPP use case in the modeling subcommittee. This is here is a information proposal. We can see here we suggest to you know information model we can have this is a sample to end one end to end from enterprise to data centers end to end service we call the CCVPN service. This is a composite service, and then it is composite from three service components. One is a site enterprise service, one is the infrastructure service, one is a site for data center service. So then the wiki is just to, so this is just a quick introduction. So we can go back to the wiki. Here is what the information model proposal. We would like to say that not all the attribute was listed here. And for example, the CCVPN service is derived from service composite. So we don't list the attribute from service composite class. So here, we only list some key issues. So if you have any comments, suggestion, any comments, welcome. You can add comments here. But until now, we have not get the feedback. I will go one by one quickly. For the CCVPN use case, CCVPN service, it has a three component. One is infrastructure ID. I think this is a ID for every service. And then for enterprise, is it could have zero or too many. And also site service ID. So this because this is the composition between of four of them or three of them. So I think we think the one CCVPN service could have at least one VPN infrastructure service. And he could have, for example, only have a site for enterprise, or have both site for enterprise and a site for data center. So this is a
The VPN infrastructure ID really is a relationship of the CCVPN service to the service component that represents the VPN infrastructure service.
Yeah, we believe that if we create a because this is a we can go back this show. You can see if we create a CCVPN service but only has list one and list one but no any VPN connection, we believe this is impossible. So at least, for example, we can have a combination between this one, and we can also add this composition from this one, or all of them is possible. But if we create a CCVPN service, only have a site, but no any VPN infrastructure, we don't think it's a good model. So
right.
This is just
saying though, maybe in the model, it's really just a relationship. It's not necessarily.
Composites of more than one service. Okay.
Yeah. Now I'm starting to think maybe we want to start applying some service policies to show service composition and what's required, you know, mandatory and optional, what the potential combinations are. And maybe policy be a good
Yeah, we can create, but for information, I think it depends when we can use the policy. We can add a restriction in a pattern. I think it's open. We can discuss which is best suitable. But but currently our proposal is the VPN infrastructure. We should have at least one. And but for site and site for data center, site for enterprise, we can be no, and or more than one is okay. But at least one enterprise site is a suggestion.
Yeah, but I'm just kind of wondering, you know, is this really the information model, or is this really
information model?
It's really an instantiation because each of these three things should be represented by the service to service composite, or sorry, to the service. Well, they're probably composite services too, but it should be the association of composite service back to service.
Yeah, so in other words, I think what's being said, instead of calling it content, call it type. And for the VPN infra ID, instead of making it string, it should be a reference to the class that this has a relationship to.
Right. So if we go back to that diagram of service to service atomic service composite, we have a service composite that relates back to service. And each of these is really an instantiation of that relationship, showing the piece parts of the composite service.
Dave Long here. Are these class relationships or instance relationships?
No, they're not instance relationship, I believe.
So is this what we want to put in the service catalog for the service descriptor?
I think the service catalog, we can add a service catalog for them. I don't know if you have any suggestion for the service catalog for this one and this one. Currently,
that was a good question, whether this is instance or descriptor information. So I think what we're saying, this is kind of descriptor information, but we'll have like analogous instance information once you instantiate the service.
Yes, those are descriptors, and I agree with you, Andy and Kevin. I think the content of the ID that listed in the table be referenced rather than string.
This could be a reference, I think we can update to change it to as a reference, and because you know we have defined for the information model for the service, we should have a service and a service component, and since the VPN use case, I think it's first time to try to implement to support such a relationship between this one, so yeah. And Andy, if possible, would you like to send a comment in here, the wiki? Okay. Then I will move on. Here is a VPN infrastructure service. We only have a ID for it. This is a derived from service component, and the service side enterprise. We not list all of them, but I believe for the enterprise, maybe we have a one or more, zero or two PNF, like for example, dual honing for the CP device. And then we have also a VPN attached. This means this, for example, if I add one site for enterprise, then I need to configure, to connect to this site, to the VPN infrastructure. So we add this one, and for the data center is a simulate, but it's almost the same, but we use the WinF VCPE to represent in such a use case. So here is a WinF ID, here is a PNF ID, and this is all the service attributes for the service, and then is the resource. We define several resources. One is VPN, is in the middle for the infrastructure, and for the site, ID and location, etc. And also VPN attachment. This is a like if consider implementation. This is like allotted resource to connect site to the special VPN and the PNF. I think less or we still, I think we only list minimize attributes, and maybe we will add more in the future when we think need. I think that's all.
So the allotted resource is the attachment, or is it the entire middle bubble? Connects. I guess on your picture.
A picture. Okay. This one. Because
the VPN infra service really isn't. So for this CC VPN service, mm-hmm. what you're using of the VPN infra service isn't the dedicated yellow boxes, right? You aren't using those entire rings or whatever they are. You're using a slice of them, I think, right? You're using just a piece of capacity from them, right?
I think this is different. If you're talking about this physical network,
right?
Yes, we are we can call it a slice of it, or this is just a one VPN service. For special CC VPN service instance, then it's defined this service. For example, if only one enterprise and one data center, then the VPN infrastructure service is just one VPN. Just one VPN. So there's nothing related to the whole network. This is just a VPN service. Here, mm-hmm. it already have two sites. One connect to here. One connect to there. And what we try to define the information model is to, for example, if we don't need to create a one-to-one CC VPN service, if we need to create, for example, two enterprise and one data center, and then we can use VID to create a service one by one. First, we create a VPN infrastructure service, one service, then add one enterprise and attach to it another enterprise, attach to it, then create site to attach it. So it depends on what you need. So if you don't have a CC VPN service, you can use the ONAP to create, for example, three enterprise and one data center. This is also, we can for a new service. Of course, if we think such a kind of service less lots, we can also create a new service template for this kind of service, but the VPN infrastructure itself is open. But for every instance, every end-to-end service instance, then this infrastructure service is not a slice. Is used just for this end-to-end service. I'm not sure if I have explained.
So okay, make sure I'm following. So the site enterprise service, if ONAP were to receive an instantiation request for an instance of site enterprise service, what one would expect to see is one instance of the PNF and ANAI. Right?
Yeah.
And if the same thing for the site DC service, if ONAP were to receive an instantiation request, you'd see one instance of the VNF. Yep. What would one see in ANAI if ONAP received an instantiation request for a VPN infra service? Would it be one thing, like a network in ANAI, or would it be seven things like these yellow boxes?
I believe when you instantiate the VPN infrastructure service, this is only one thing, because at that time you don't know how many sites will be bind to it at that time.
Well, but I mean, but it's not. It's one thing because it is a network which connects all of the CPE with all of the VCPE, right? It's a network, right? It's not an instance of each of those yellow boxes. You don't instantiate those yellow boxes, right? You're instantiating a network by configuring those yellow boxes.
So what you're configuring is like a point-to-point or multi-point, possibly VLAN service or something, right?
I think that's, yeah, I think that's what it sounds like. Yeah, miss it, yes. Multi-point VLAN service. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
How you instantiate it in the infrastructure is really outside the concern of the service.
I believe that if we need to instantiate infrastructure, VPN infrastructure, this is your question, how to instantiate this one?
Yes.
Well, okay. I think so. If I'm reading the diagram correctly, if a request comes in to instantiate an instance of CCVPN, then what this diagram says is I get an instance of Site Enterprise Service, one or more. I get an instance of Site DC Service, and I get an instance of VPN Infra Service. Is that right? Or do I get an instance of a VLAN, multipoint VLAN, which isn't shown? I'm thinking VPN Infra is the multipoint VLAN, right?
Yeah. Could be.
Okay. Yep. Okay. And so ONAP, when it goes to configure that multipoint VLAN, it would be touching those yellow boxes or some sort of a manager. But it wouldn't be. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'm thinking about if we should make it more complex to say, for example, if I quit, this is a infrastructure, VPN infrastructure services. In here, our assumption is L overlay network is then if we instantiate, maybe we can also trigger it to instantiate underlay network also. It's also possible.
Mm-hmm. But in this case, what we're saying is that when ONAP goes to instantiate or to create an instance of that VPN infra service, it's going to probably touch just two yellow boxes. It's probably going to create a VERF on the leftmost yellow box. And it's going to, I think that's yellow. And it's going to create a VERF on the rightmost yellow box. And you're saying you want to model those two VERFs not as two things, but you want to model them as one thing. You want to model them as one, as a network, as opposed to modeling them as two allotted resources on something underneath it.
Pardon? I have not got your idea.
So I was going to interject, Dave Orme here. In the TM Forum work we did on connectivity service models, we separated the topology of how the thing is realized, which is these seven boxes, from the topology of the service that's offered. And we also used phrases like flows to represent the actual instances or tenants across this kind of, across this service, basically. That was the kind of model we used, because that kind of moves you towards virtualization and cloud-based approaches. That's generally the approach. So from this diagram is it's showing the detail, but actually what you're doing is putting the equivalent of a virtual circuit across here between the two endpoints.
Right. And the same with the MEF model and the same with the ONF model. It's really that high level connectivity with the endpoints.
Yeah, you can see that in some of the MEF documents, I think 10 and 59.
So we should think of that blue circle, that blue oval, as being a cloud with two endpoints on it, left endpoint and a right endpoint.
Or a multipoint service, just a multipoint.
Yep. VLAN, wire, E3, anything like that.
And we're modeling that as a service of how many resources? Is that cloud with two endpoints? Is that one resource in ONAP model, or is that two resources, one for each, or is it three resources? Maybe the cloud and the two blue lines on each side of the cloud. I think the purpose. I think you were saying in your model you were modeling that blue line that connects the CPEs with that cloud. You were modeling those as VPN attachments, and not as a separate resource, I think, right?
I think we are the information for here is used in SDC to say how we design the service. In the resource, how to design in the SDC, and how to model it in Leo. This is a we can. So it's more like more consider how to implement how to model in SDC domains, not in my, I believe it's not to, maybe cannot direct map to MAF or TMF, like talent, this issues. Maybe talent could be one attribute, but in the modeling in SDC, I think this is not, it's a more, how to say, it's maybe more customer faced attribute, not faced attributes.
Yeah, I think it's different from design time and runtime. Then you can you show the slides? Yeah, I will display here for the VPN infra service. I think we have one resource for it, for this service, and this resource maybe you can consider when we instantiate this service. It should be an empty network, logic network will be instantiated first. And then when we instantiate the site enterprise service, then in this service, we have an allotted resource that connect to this VPN infra service instance. And you mean here, these blue lines, the information is set it in this allotted resource. So when we deploy this enterprise service, the blue line will be created in the VPN infra service. I'm not sure do you know. That's why we put this allotted resource in enterprise service. But in runtime data model, you can say this VPN network infra service, because it is when it is instantiated, maybe it is empty logic network. And when the enterprise service or site DC service, it is instantiated, it will be added. Maybe these links will be added to this network. So this information model is for SDC information model. It is not for runtime information model. That should be color. We want to make it very flexible that we can add our infra service and we can add what site we need. It can be very flexible. We do not need to, if we in SDC, if we design these blue lines in the infra service, and when you deploy this service, it is set it with how many blue lines or how many sites should be fixed. It cannot be very flexible.
Right, so you're saying that the design in SDC needs to be flexible to allow for many endpoints, or
yeah,
you know, be it enterprises or DCs or data centers.
Yeah, that's so, right. Because when in runtime, you can deploy one infra service and maybe several enterprise service and maybe several DC service that are related to your scenario.
Right. So you would just describe the infra service and say, here's the minimum number of unis that would attach to it, maybe two.
Yeah, that's right. That's why we have a VPN attachment resource in our site service.
So the attachment is like the uni, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. But when you instantiate it, you'd specify the input parameters.
Yeah, when we say
it, parameters for each of the enterprise sites or the data center.
That's right. That's right. Because it is a loaded resource, the instance maybe will be attached to VPN infra service. In runtime, maybe you say uni, it is belongs to infra service, but in design time, we make it in the site service. That will be more flexible.
If okay, then I think the wiki is there. I will send the slide, this page and the link to you.
Yeah.
To Elwin.
Okay. Could you show, it would help me understand this better if we had
any comment. I got
the, if Elwin. We said what are the resources that are part of the services, not the CC VPN, but the VPN, what is the next level down beyond the infra services? You know, because
you mean we should say here from start here is resource. Should I list here?
Yeah, like for instance, the site DC service, I'm assuming has just one resource. That is that's the VNF itself. And I think that's implied here in the VNF ID. That's one resource. The middle row there is the one resource, right?
Yeah, ID for.
So I can figure it out for the site DC and for the PNF, but I'm not quite sure what is the resource model for the VPN, and that was the source of my questions. How many resources does that VPN service, that infra VPN service or whatever, I forget what you called it.
The voice quality is poor. Can you repeat or
oh.
Can you, maybe you can send a comment after the meeting to here?
I'll do a chat.
I think I can explain. Yeah. Jianguo, can you?
But it's called because just now I can't hear.
Okay.
Hey, Lily, should I stop sharing?
No, I think actually Gil has a comment and is trying to clarify.
Yeah. Okay, you can open your slides. Yeah, can you open your slides? Share your slides, Jianguo. Yeah. Please open the next slide. Yeah, next page. Yeah, here is very clear. For VPN infra, we have only one resource layer. That means in our IM page, information model page, it names VPN. And for the site enterprise and the site DC, we have both three resources for it. So this is the composition of the services. We can get it here. And this is also compliance with the wiki layer. Only name, we will not put it as config resource layer. You can put it as VPN. And the set enterprise and the set PC, the config resource here, it is site name in the wiki. And in allocated resource, it is VPN attachment. Is it clear?
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, this picture helps a lot. This picture helps a lot.
Actually,
so I think
is treating the network in the middle as a OPEC box. The owner would not be understanding what the network is composed of, or monitor the status of each of the device, or you would see as resource within it.
Yeah, here have a abstract network here. So it is depends on the controller, the third party SDN controller should abstract this whole network to an abstract network can be notified by the third party SDN controller. So ONAP do not need to know the detailed topology of this network. We only get the network topology as a node with a topology node with several terminal points.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So I think I understand this. So what this is saying is that the site enterprise service is comprised of a PNF plus a slice and a lot of resource, a VERF, from the VPN infra service. And the site DC service is also it's a dedicated VNF plus a slice, a VERF, if you will, and a lot of resource from the VPN infra.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. What is a config resource? Because I would have thought the config, I would have thought the PNF and the allotted would have had their own configurations that there would be as part of the site enterprise service. One would have to configure the PNF, and one would also have to configure the VERF, the allotted. What does the config resource represent?
I think here config resource may be when you can several informations for this site, such as your location, such as, because now SPC do not support for properties direct to, we cannot set properties direct to a service, because we need to make it all from the resources. Actually here, config resource, we only want to make it as a configuration for this whole site enterprise and site DC. But in our SDC's platform, now we cannot define our own property for a service. We only can declare the properties from resources. So here, if you have some comments on SDC, or you can give some suggestion, because here the config resource, it should be service level properties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I see. Some
information for this service, but SDC do not support this now. When we design,
I was just going to just make sure I understand what you said. So I think what you're saying is that, you know, in order to configure the PNF and in order to configure the allotted resource, one must take a set of service level data and map it into the corresponding resource level data. And I think you're saying the way SDC is designed currently, that mapping is not held. You're saying that mapping is held in another resource, a separate resource that's neither the service nor the PN, nor the resource. Neither the service at the top nor the resources at the bottom. It's a separate mapping resource. Do I understand that correctly?
I think maybe my understanding is yes. So maybe I can repeat your. That means there's currently in SDC implementation, if a service is composed as a three. Two resource. Then, if there is a separate mapping or attribute for this service, and which not to bind to the special resource, then there's no way for this to implement it. So we need to create a separate resource to store all the service related parameters or mappings in here.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, that does sound like a shortcoming in SDC, because this because when I look at this picture, I want to say that, well, as part of the site enterprise service, or let's take the site DC, the site DC service, I would want to say that SO would decompose that site DC service into two resources, the VNF and the allotted, and pass those two resources to OOF for homing purposes, to pick a cloud instance for the VNF and to pick some endpoint of that VNF for the VERF, or that VPN for the VERF, calling that other thing a config resource. I agree that we need to call it something, but I hate to call it a resource. Because it's not homed, it's not decomposed. At least it's not homed anyway. Anatoly, do you agree that config resource really should be
in SO here, how many resources we designed in SDC. So we will decompose it as several, as how many resources, such as here, for set DC, it will be decomposed as three resources. One is ENF, one is here config, one is here allotted resource. And for the VNF, we will use maybe multi-vim or VFC that support our VNF instantiation. We will instantiate this VNF. But the config resource, maybe it will be make some config on this VNF, or maybe it will be do some location saving, and maybe we'll do some map to our terminal points, and like this operations. Maybe it is also level 0 to level 2 operation. It is some configuration on this VNF, or some configuration for this service. It should also a resource. So we are not only decompose it as nothing. In SO, how many resources designed in SDC, how many resources will be decomposed? It will be all there. But as you say, for this config resource, now actually it's not very clear. We also discuss on this. If there is some comments, you can also give your suggestion. Mm-hmm. But actually, as my opinion, here VNF and PNF, it is only a device with its initial configuration layer. But we need to for this CPE, to make it as a site, we also need this configuration resource.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just using the term resource in a different way. When I think of the term resource, I instinctively think of things that are homed. You do assignments, you create them perhaps, and you configure them.
Yeah,
and you do lifecycle management operations on them. You can terminate them. Most of those things don't really apply for the config resource. So it just seems awkward that SDC would require us to model the configuration of the service or the mapping configuration of the service as if it was itself a resource. That just seems a little awkward. And I was wondering if Anatoly agreed with that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Actually, I was not listening. I'm just, answering to my name.
Okay. So Anatoly, my question was, when I look at this slide, on the screen, on the bottom right hand corner, there is this site underscore DC service, which in my terminology, it decomposes into two resources that must have lifecycle management, that must be managed from a lifecycle perspective, a VNF and an allotted resource, right? You have to home those, you have to get a network assignments for them, you have to create them, and you have to configure them and perhaps other things in the future, terminate them, maybe.
Right.
The config resource seems different. What the gentleman was describing to me is that the reason that the config resource is in there is because SDC, the way it's currently set up, it require the only place one can capture the mapping between service data or the only place one can capture service level data, service level parameters, true service data that must be mapped into the resource data, the VNF data.
When you say resource map data, you mean internal, like the internal of the service, right?
In other words, a set of when one receives a request to instantiate the site underscore DC service, one would expect that a collection of attributes would be sent, parameters would be sent in that request that would indicate the values of which would indicate how I as an individual want my site DC service to be configured. That collection of service level parameters would need to be mapped by ONAP into the proper subset of data to be applied in the VNF, perhaps across a NetConf API, and the set that would need to be applied into the allotted through some other API, who knows.
Gil, excuse me, maybe I don't get it to the very, you know, through, but it sounds to me out of your description that the situation, at least you're describing right now, that these attributes are kind of inputs for this service, and these inputs should be stored somewhere or mapped on the internals. And if they need to be mapped to the internals, then let's map them directly to the internals. Why should we have some intermediary like config resource? Or maybe I just don't understand its purpose, actually.
So no, this isn't a proposal. This isn't a proposal. This was the reason config resource is represented on this slide as an ellipse is because of what was described as a current SDC shortcoming. That is how, in fact, one in the captures this service level data. You capture it as a resource.
Yeah.
At least that's probably, maybe it's just as a current situation, it was probably some quick fix.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So I just want to make sure. So my question to you was, do you agree that sounds like a quick fix? That doesn't sound like the way we want to really model things, right?
Absolutely. I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in other words, let's model it more target rather than as is.
Okay.
So can we track this down as one of the follow-up actions to actually think what SDC would support for Casablanca and also what we would like to model, you know, in
this? Yeah, we can, maybe we can add an action, action point or a function request to SDC teams so that to say if we can support in Casablanca.
Well, I assume, Andy, if we kind of think about Isami, we could say the information model is like this and service configuration type things is done within a service object. And if it's part of some refactoring, a particular component needs to do something different, they can justify it and do it. But I don't know if we want to push the information model in that shortcoming direction.
Okay. Yeah. Agreed that in the information model, We use the reasonable ways, but in a data model, if we think that SDC is issue, then we can raise issue for that. Okay.
This is actually a data model, so it takes consideration of the component.
Yeah, this is a data model. This is for service model situation.
You can transfer to the wiki, so to check the site. Now it is very simple, such as ID and the location. But I think this property should be belongs to this service. So that's why we put it in config resource. This is only SDC do not support service level properties. I think for a service, it should have its own properties. And for this service, service orchestrator, it has service level logic. Not only instantiate several resources, it should have service level operation. But here we make it as resource, that's only to make it implementable for NAP.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we're all saying the same thing. Yeah. So could we go back to that prior picture with the resources on there? Because it does raise a follow-up question. And that is the middle service, the VPN infra service, if it only has one resource, which is a config resource. So if we were to eliminate config resource as a resource and make that really attributes properties of a service, then does that mean we have a service now with no resources or perhaps it means that, in fact, this VPN infra isn't a service at all. It's just a resource, that resource. Or maybe it's two. This maybe gets back to my original question. Do we, well, what is that service, I guess? What is that service?
Yeah, as I know, for this service, maybe it should have resources. But these resources come from the allocated resource. This is the first. And the config resource, I think it is its own VPN instance. So I think this config resource makes sense for this VPN infra service. It should have our, we say, a logic network resource with no units. First.
Well, and, when one, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were finished. Well, I was going to ask, for the allotted resource, when ONAP wants to create the allotted resource or instantiate the allotted resource, I'm assuming it would call an API on what, like a PE, a VPE or a PE router, and say, create the allotted resource. And it's that service that is offering that service, if you will. So it's the VPN infra service that is hosting that API call, which will create the VERF, result in the VERF being created. I think what we're saying is that ONAP doesn't manage that VPN. ONAP doesn't manage that VPE or that PE router. ONAP just knows to call this API to create the allotted resource. So maybe what we're saying is that this VPN infra is not a service that's managed by ONAP, but it's a distant service. It's the equivalent of if ONAP were to call another service provider and say, give me an allotted, give me a firewall as a service. And ONAP doesn't manage that other service. Perhaps that's what we're saying. Because certainly I think so for such a case as firewall as a service, we've been sort of thinking that perhaps the way we should model such a thing in ONAP is to have the allotted resource point to a shell service, a service that doesn't have any resources in ONAP at all, but rather is a pointer to an API call, to another system elsewhere that can be used to provide the allotted resource capability.
You mean another vendor controller, let's write, we need to create maybe such as a VPN in third party SDN controller and first, and but this, you mean this instance, you do not make it as a resource in ONAP.
Right. So that in other words, that VPN infra could be provided by another company, and it might be opaque. We're just asking that company for give me a VERF, give me a VRF.
It's actually a layer of abstraction rather than another company, I think. So the assumption behind it is that ONAP would be performing the function as a supercontroller while the actual, like underlay network is under the control of a domain controller. And this, the targeted use case is not layer 3 VPN, but layer 2 VPN. So this is a like transport network that we are looking at now. And so ONAP does not necessarily have to manage each of the device, and it delegates the responsibility to a domain controller. Well, the domain controller is actually offering the API, as you said, to initiate a VPN infra service.
So that's right. Yeah, that's right, Lingli. I forgot. This is a VLAN, right? It's not a. So we have to negotiate. It's not like the. It's not like the site enterprise service. No. That allotted resource cannot dictate the VLAN tag to use. It must negotiate that, I'm guessing, with the domain controller, the underlay controller.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't calling. I haven't been calling that thing a controller. What you called a domain controller? I haven't been referring to that as a controller because I think of controllers as things that put their that reveal their secrets to ANAI. So they update ANAI and the thing that is what you're referring to as the domain controller, it does know that there are seven yellow boxes. Right.
Sure.
But I don't think in this case we wouldn't want that domain controller, as you call it, we wouldn't want it to put those seven boxes into ANAI. From ONAP's perspective, it should be a cloud, right?
That's the question that we are also having. I think, there have been discussions, I think, internally within our team. how much detailed information the domain controller should expose to an AI. So that, mm-hmm. The question is that, the responsibility of an AI. And should it be, like having the knowledge of how the underlying network is actually composed of, having the notion of the physical device within that domain. The domain controller is actually having the knowledge. And
right.
It is whether or not that ONAP should have in that too.
Right. I would think if ONAP's not managing it, I tend to think
we need to carefully bound the contexts basically and define the integration points between those two, because you will want to see something top to bottom or end. So you need to be able to say, well, starting here, what's all of my my VNFs or whatever, and then they end up on virtual servers, which end up on physical compute hosts, et cetera. So. Service providers who are trying to do service assurance and things like that, generally speaking, want a view like that. Mm-hmm. So you have to at least provide ways to stitch a view like that together.
I agree.
So if you bound the context and you understand your integration points and you're clear on what sort of queries need to go back and forth or what sort of joins you need to do across some sort of virtual database concept, that's what you need. Yep.
That's right. So I was thinking, Chesla, I guess, just off the top of my head, I was thinking that ONAP view, the ANAI view, would see that blue oval looking thing as a cloud with two endpoints. And the identifier of those endpoints would be a shared or a foreign key into the domain controller that would know how those endpoints map to the yellow boxes on the inside.
And so I guess I would avoid the word cloud unless you really mean cloud.
No, I mean like a PowerPoint cloud picture. Okay. But it's an abstraction.
You're just saying that's one thing. Everything with the dashed, right. Everything in the blue is somehow one thing, and you're saying it's got connection points on either side that you connect to.
That's right. Which is why I tend to think of it as a resource. It looks like a network resource with two connection points. But we could also model it as a. Well, I'm not quite sure how to model it.
But you'd have to be able to ask your domain controller, though, here's a key or something like that to this thing.
Yep.
And, give me back data that I need in order to do my function based on, if it's a third party or something
negotiate. You can negotiate. So I am looking for a connection point to blue, Mr. Domain Controller, and here is my geography. And I'm looking for this VLAN tag because I like to have the same VLAN tag on both sides of my, I don't know. I like to use this VLAN tag because for site enterprise service, we always use 237. So can you, Mr. Domain Controller, give me a connection point with this VLAN 237 and in this geography? And then the domain controller would decide whether or not to terminate that blue line on the first or on the leftmost yellow box or the next yellow, maybe two of those yellow boxes are in the same building. And so it doesn't matter which one, the domain controller can choose which one.
Yeah. I've got a drop, but what is your domain controller in this?
So Ling Li is referring to it as a domain controller. I would tend not to call it a controller, but we do need to have a name for it. If that's the name everybody's agreed to use, domain controller, then that's we could use that.
But what
as well.
Is it an ONAP component or no?
No,
Lingley, you're saying it's external, right? Outside of it. So Chesla's point, though, Lingley, tell me if it's true. Some person, some human being, is going to want to see both what ONAP knows and what this external domain controller knows as a seamless end to end. Is that right? Somebody's going to want to be able to say, okay, but this VCP is connected to this blue oval here, and then I want to see what yellow box that's connected to. And they're going to want to seamlessly navigate that across two systems. Is that true in your?
I think so, yes. In real, like deployment, you need that to do end-to-end, service
assurance.
Yeah.
Right.
But the question for ours is, perhaps we need to do it step by step and see, how ONAP could, whether or not ONAP could provide that end-to-end service assurance is still a question But what we are sure is that, you know, ONAP could do the service deployment by, you know, decompose different, you know, servers to resource, and with the assistance of domain controller, it actually can do this end-to-end service provisioning. And so, you know, without complicating the use case, you know, we are actually deferring that. But if we, you know, I think if we have more resource and more input from your guys, perhaps you could actually, you know, join the discussion and show perhaps, you know, what could be down within C release. So currently we're taking, I think, a more cautious like approach to try to do it step by step and not doing that too aggressively. Because, you know, so if we're drilling down to the very bottom of the system, there might be a lot of work to be done. For example, the PNF integration, and also there are various layers between this. It is not just one layer to be added, but perhaps three or four layers if we really wanted to have that visibility, you know, top to the bottom.
So Chesla, I'm not sure if Chesla, you're still on voice. Looks like you've dropped. But AT&T has a similar problem, right? We have another system that's not ONAP that manages our WAN. And if we wanted to have a connection between the CPE and the VCPE, we would need to call that other system twice. We'd say, give me a connection between the give me a connection for my CPE. You know, and we would send it the VLAN we want. We would negotiate a VLAN, and we would ask them to configure it for us. And we would also say do the same thing for the VCPE side. We don't call that. We have, at least I haven't been thinking of that other system as a domain controller. I've just been thinking of it as another manager. But I think it's the same problem you're describing. So yeah, I think it'd be fruitful for us to model this together.
Okay. Lini. Any more?
No. Thank you for your patience with my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.